So this is written in the voice of Seth Waller, who is the awkward 15-year-old science nerd. And the title of this chapter is Abstract. By the spring of 1998, it had become undeniable. My mom came from her room on a Tuesday morning to find me eating a double serving of maple and brown sugar oatmeal. She wandered slowly down the stairs, widening her mouth as if she was just discovering each step for the first time. When she moved into the kitchen, she paused. She spun about, on her face an expression that maybe resembled marveling, but the more accurate description was bewildered. Finally, she spotted me and dragged her feet across the kitchen floor in the shuffle that had only recently become how she stepped, the gait of a woman 30 or 40 years older, proof of the hypothesis that, however the mind behaves, so follows the body. She sat in the chair opposite mine and narrowed her eyes, furrowed her brow in the unfocused, focused gaze of a person trying to find the 3D image in a computer-generated field of dots. After a long moment, she attempted a word. Seth? Because I was always one to make comments my dad labeled too smart, the kind of comments that, to the relief of everyone, myself not the least, I finally came to suppress, I chimed back, Mom? But she didn't catch the sarcasm. She only lunged forward and held me tightly against her chest, putting my arms to my sides for so long I finally had to say, Come on, my oatmeal's getting cold. Sorry. My mom pulled away, gaping down the powder blue of her nightie as if she had just realized the body beneath her was her own. As I spooned the mush between my lips, she raised her face dumbly, her mind so distracted by the shock of discovering herself in her kitchen on an ordinary weekday morning that it couldn't be bothered to attend to a thin streak of dribble drawn from the corner of her mouth. "What's up?" I tried to speak normally. My mom didn't reply. She nibbled the flesh of her lower lip. Her clenched eyebrows creased a deep question mark into her forehead. Finally, she rested her chin on her folded hands and asked, "How long have we known each other?" Suddenly, I couldn't swallow. I bowed my face into the black bowl and regurgitated. "What?" "I feel like I've known you my whole life," she explained. "Me too," I mumbled, and then added what I hoped she would denounce as too smart. "It almost feels like I'm your son." "I know it!" I didn't tell my dad. If I had told him, maybe we could have prevented what would happen only weeks later. Maybe everything could have been different. But my dad used to find a million reasons to accuse my mom of what he perceived to be her extraordinary selfishness. Once, when I was 9 or maybe 10, my dad tried to maneuver past the stove where my mom was cooking to reach his gin from the freezer. But my mom didn't see him and opened a cabinet door with a kind of timing you would expect in a cartoon. My dad's face crashed right into it. You could make out the design of the woodwork on his forehead as a rising pattern of blue and red. I laughed because I couldn't help it, but my dad raged at my mom. "Christ, Jamie, when will you learn to watch out for other people?" Every wrong my mom had ever committed, my dad would collect to use against her when the opportunity presented itself. "Yesterday," he yelled, "you forgot to mail the letters I left. This morning, you forgot to reset the alarm, and now you throw a goddamn door in my face. What a fantastic day you've given me. Really." Because, under the rules of my dad, forgetful and selfish were synonymous, I didn't say a thing.